Stay tuned for CBS Mystery Theater at 7 past.
CBS News. American and Soviet negotiators meet Friday in Geneva to begin work on details of the arms limitation understanding reached last year between President Ford and Soviet leader Brezhnev. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS radio network. The understanding reached between the two leaders in Vladivostok limits each of the superpowers to 2,400 long-range bombers and missiles. Experts believe the basic number will remain unchanged in the new round of talks. However, a number of other questions remain to be clarified. The negotiators hope to have the final agreement ready for a signature when Brezhnev visits Washington this summer. The Civil Aeronautics Board has approved a plan that will give Pan American Airways some of TWA's Pacific routes and give TWA some of Pan Am's Atlantic routes. The object, says the CAB, is to help the financial condition of both airlines. The CAB, in making the ruling, rejected arguments by the Justice Department that the plan would reduce competition. The House Agriculture Committee has overwhelmingly approved a bill that would freeze the price of food stamps at their January 1st level for the rest of the year. The bill, which is scheduled for House action next week, would kill a Ford administration plan to increase the price of food stamps. More CBS News after this.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
The nation's third largest bank, Chase Manhattan of New York, has cut its prime lending rate to 9%. There are predictions that other big banks will follow suit on Friday. The prime had reached an all-time high of 12% last year. Federal Reserve Chairman Arthur Burns has told the House Ways and Means Committee he supports President Ford's proposed one-time $12 billion individual tax rebate, but opposes any permanent tax cut. Burns said the Federal Reserve Board will expand at a moderate rate the supply of money and bank credit, but would not release a new wave of inflation on the country by the rapid easing of credit. Trading was heavy on the New York Stock Exchange for the fourth consecutive day Thursday. Almost 30 million shares were traded. However, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 9.5 points to close at 696.42. Dr. Philip Alberson, the president of the Kearney Institution and a physicist and a chemist, says the nation's most pressing energy problem is an upcoming shortage of natural gas. Alberson told a New York Science Symposium there will be chaos in a year or two when choices must be made between supplying homes or industries with natural gas. The Associated Press reports the Ford administration will propose legislation to cut down the amount of money going to the Highway Trust Fund and divert it into general revenue funds. The trust fund would be used only to complete and maintain the interstate highway system. All other roads would be funded out of general revenues. President Ford has extended his clemency program for 1 month until March 1st. The White House says the extension was necessary because of what it termed heightened interest. The program, in the absence of any presidential action, would have expired Friday midnight. So far, only about 7,000 of an estimated 137,000 eligible men have decided to participate in the program announced last September. More CBS News after this.
My dandruff shampoo has no protein conditioners.
No regular shampoo has anything to help my dandruff.
But now I found Sorex medicated shampoo.
It helps relieve the dandruff.
And it has protein conditioners to help build up the body.
With regular use, Sorex helps relieve scaling, flaking, and itching.
Well, its protein conditioners add body, manageability, and luster. So instead of choosing between a clean scalp and beautiful hair, I choose Sorex and get both. On nights when you have trouble falling asleep, what do you do to help?
I sleep with my head at the other end of the bed.
I eat.
On those occasional nights when exercise and counting sheep just don't seem to work, try Compose. Compose helps relax you, so your body is able to fall asleep more easily. Of course, by falling asleep more easily, you're going to feel better the next morning. Use Compose only as directed. And remember, the more easily you fall asleep, the better you feel the next morning. Compose.
Thick fog has hampered cleanup operations of an oil spill along 50 miles of the Mississippi River south of New Orleans. The spill occurred when three barges and a freighter collided Wednesday. Crews were unable to get to the river Thursday because of limited visibility caused by the fog. During the delay, the current carried the oil further downstream. Singer Elvis Presley is reported in good spirits in a Memphis, Tennessee hospital. Presley was admitted for the treatment of an undisclosed ailment. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Weatherman says mostly cloudy with occasional rain or snow tonight and tomorrow. Showers of snow or rain in periods of partial clearing tomorrow night and Saturday. Lows in the low 30s, daytime highs in the upper 30s. Southerly winds 15 to 25 miles an hour tonight, and that should keep the temperature down. Those winds should become more southwesterly by tomorrow. Chance of measurable precipitation 80% through tomorrow night. Stay tuned now for CBS Mystery Theater with your host, E.G. Marshall. In an ordinary museum, a certain display provokes some very extraordinary behavior on the part of the people viewing it. That's tonight on The Night of the Wolf, an exciting and baffling story on CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Over and over, the philosophers ask the same questions. In all times, in all places, for all men, the mysteries remain. What is life? What is death? From whence do we come and where do we go? The ignorant, barbaric savage bows to the sun and says, "Behold, God." Whereas we, sophisticated, civilized, consider the sun as energy expressed in formulae and equations. But do we really know any more about the sun than he does?
Okay, Georgie, the case is closed.
No, Captain Prescott, the case is still wide open.
But we got the killer.
We don't have the killer.
We don't. 100 people saw him pick up that knife and stab her with it.
He didn't do it.
Not only did 100 people see him do it, he also admits he did it.
I still say he didn't do it.
Are you telling me that 101 people are crazy?
I don't care what they saw. He did not kill his wife.
Okay. I'll go along with it. Who did?
The high priest of the Wolf Clan.
Is that right? Who is this high priest?
I don't know.
Oh, so you don't know. Do you maybe know where we could find him?
You can't find him. That's impossible.
Oh? Is it? Why?
He's been dead for maybe 1,000 years. But he's your killer, Captain.
Our mystery drama, The Night of the Wolf, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by imported Vigna Rosé wine and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Here is an important message from Buick. Buick wants you to know that a cash rebate of $500 will be given to everyone who takes delivery of a new Buick Skyhawk by February 28, 1975. And a rebate of $200 will be given to everyone who takes delivery of a Buick Skylark or Apollo by February 28th. Buick's cash rebate program is just one of many reasons for buying a free-spirited 1975 Buick Skyhawk, Skylark, or Apollo. So see your Buick dealer.
And now for a look at today's top stories. Cost of living still soaring with no end in sight. The price of hamburger at the supermarket.
Oh, it's so depressing. The dollar just doesn't go as far as it used to go.
Cheer up. Your dollar still goes a long way in fighting birth defects.
I turned that radio off.
But the message still comes through. Help support March of Dimes research into the cause and treatment of birth defects.
Okay, great. I'll join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
We are in a bright, bustling city in our own Southwest. A new city, but an old settlement. Almost 100 years before the Pilgrims landed in Massachusetts, the Spanish adventurers came here in quest of gold. And when they found none, they went away. After a while, the conquistadors were succeeded by a new breed of explorers who understood that gold doesn't have to be hard and yellow. Gold can also be liquid and black. And thus, a new city was built here. A gleaming city of metal and glass. A new city, but not the first city. For thousands of years, men of many kinds and various colors have built cities here. Cities that have flourished and vanished. Right now, it is an early evening during the spring, and we find ourselves in a museum gallery, which features an exhibition of the primitive cultures of those early years.
Terry?
Yeah?
Fix your top shirt button.
But it's hot in here.
Close your collar and pull up your tie. You look like an ape.
Okay.
Don't embarrass me in front of my friends.
Oh, hello, Colonel McKeever. Hello.
Terry, don't look so bored.
Ain't it? I don't look like nothing.
A little culture won't kill you.
Why do you make me come to these things, Enid?
Because everyone who is anyone is here.
Yeah, okay.
And you're not to touch a drop.
Now, look.
You are to keep away from the refreshment table. Do you understand?
Yeah.
In a moment, Colonel.
Colonel McKeever wants to ask me something. Terry, can I trust you to stay here?
Of course.
Don't wander off and make a fool of yourself, and don't touch a drop of liquor.
Okay.
Terry? Oh.
Why do I always have to look for you? Colonel McKeever wants to talk with you.
Yeah.
Terry, what are you staring at? What's so fascinating about that shabby old thing? It looks like a little old lady's faded bathrobe.
Well, it isn't.
Oh, of course it isn't. I can read. Ancient ceremonial robe. Said to belong to a high priest of the Wolf Clan. Possibly Mojave or kindred tribe. Well, what's so all-fired interesting about it?
Shut up.
What did you say?
I said, shut up.
Do you mean you're telling me to...
Who says I can't tell you to shut up?
I warn you, Terry, do not make a scene.
You know something? I think I will make a scene.
Terry, have you gone mad?
Maybe.
Let's get out of here quickly. We won't even wait for the car to come.
We won't?
We'll hail a cab, and I'll take you.
And what?
I'll take you to a doctor.
Why?
Because something has come over you.
Maybe something has.
People are starting to stare at us.
Well, so what?
Terry!
You! Hey, you over there! What are you looking at?
Terry, you're embarrassing me.
I mean you. You, the fat slob with a face like a pig.
Terry, it's Colonel McKeever.
What's the matter with you?
Terry, we've got to leave here.
Enid, we ain't going nowhere.
I demand that you...
Shut up! Well, what are you looking at, huh? You know me? I'm Terry Jessup. 10 years all-pro middle linebacker till I busted my knee. And I got so scared that I had to marry this rich broad.
Terry, you've gone mad.
I let her father buy me. I let her old man buy me.
Terry,
and break
you're
me.
Drunk.
You ruined me. You ruined me. You and your old man, you used me. My name, my reputation, you used me to sell that crooked stock of yours, those dry wells.
Please, somebody. Call an ambulance.
I haven't got a real friend in the world because of you.
Oh, he's terribly ill.
That's why I'm going to kill you.
Oh, help me.
Don't anybody make a move. I'll break anybody in half who tries to stop me.
Terry, put down that knife.
Sacrificial knife. 1,000 years old. Still good.
No, Terry, don't.
Still got a point.
No.
Look, the point, it's still good.
Oh, Terry.
He killed her.
I told you.
Yeah.
I killed her. I killed her. Maybe somebody ought to call the cops.
I don't know why, Lieutenant. I don't know.
Just answer this. How long have you wanted to do it?
Why, I never wanted to do it. I just...
Yeah?
Well, something just came over me, that's all.
That's not true.
I swear, Lieutenant...
No, you forget. You killed her in front of 100 witnesses. You said that her old man bought you.
I never said any such thing.
Now, don't fight it, Terry. 100 people heard you.
But I don't remember saying it.
Do you believe it?
No, I don't believe it. Why would I...
You said they used you to sell a phony stock.
Well, how could
Terry, I wouldn't say this if I didn't get it from people who were standing there. You said that you lost all your real friends because of them.
It's crazy.
That's what you said.
Well, how could I say a thing like that? I was in love with her.
Still and all, Terry, you killed her. Why?
I don't know. I was so much in love with her, Lieutenant. I mean it. She was the kind of woman that I wanted all my life. Girl with class.
Sure. But those words you said to her, that anger that made you say them, where did the words and the anger come from?
I'm telling you, I don't know, Lieutenant. I must have been out of my head.
Sure.
Something came over me.
What?
I got scared. It was like nothing I ever felt before.
Like what?
Something in that place. Just something in that museum. Something wild.
Come on, Terry. What could be wild in a museum?
It was like something set my mind on fire. And the words that everybody heard me say, I didn't even know I was saying them.
And did you know you killed her?
It was like something had to be driven out of me, you understand?
No.
Something that was wrong, something that had to die, and if she wasn't standing there, I would have killed myself.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something in that place.
Sure.
Believe me. You gotta believe me.
I'm not the one who has to believe you. A judge and a jury has to believe you.
It's in that place, Lieutenant. Something is in that place.
Now, Miss Atkins, you were here last night. You saw what happened.
I've already told you, Lieutenant.
Terry Jessup says that something came over him.
Oh, I'm sure something did.
He says something in this place, something here in this museum, drove him wild.
Something in here?
Yes, Miss Atkins. Now, what is there here that could do
that? Look for yourself. We have pictures on the walls. We have some sculptures, some artifacts.
Has anything unusual ever happened here before?
Well, now, what unusual thing could ever happen in a museum?
Yeah, that's what I figured. Well, Miss Atkins, I guess that's all.
Although...
Yes?
Well... This is of absolutely no use to you in terms of last night, but, well, we did have an incident here, about 3 weeks ago. We had a fist fight.
A what?
Uh-huh. There were a party of 4. 2 men, 2 women. And suddenly, the men started a violent fight. Unfortunately, the guards were able to restrain them.
Well, what did you do?
Well, the guards hustled them out of the building, but the 2 men kept going at it on the street. Finally, the police came.
And then what?
Well, I don't know. It's just that you asked me about unusual things. And since we have so few of them, well, almost anything would stick in my memory. Yes, it was exactly 3 weeks ago. And then there was another incident.
When?
Well, that's the peculiar thing about it. It was just about... No. No, it was exactly 3 weeks before that.
You sure?
Yes, I remember because it was the first of the month. And the first day of this special early American Indian exhibit.
What happened?
Well, there was a man. And he was standing... Well, right where Jessup was standing. And also right where those other two men were standing. The exact same spot.
And?
He was an elderly, dignified, well-dressed man. And all of a sudden he shouted, I'm wrong, I wasted my life. And with that he emptied his pockets. He threw his watch and his ring and all his money away. And then he started to take off his clothes.
And then what?
Well, the guards just restrained him and he was taken to the hospital. So... Well, all I can deduce from all of this is that every 3 weeks for the last 9 weeks, we've had some kind of violent situation. Does any of this help you?
It's interesting, but I don't see where it can take us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry you couldn't learn anything, Lieutenant Miller. Do you have any further questions?
Just one. What time do you get off?
6.
That's exactly 15 minutes from now.
Mm-mm. Your watch is slow. It's less than 10.
How about some dinner?
Thought you'd never ask.
Oh, Georgie?
Yeah, it's me. Did I wake you?
Oh, no. Had your supper?
Yeah.
What did you eat?
Oh, I don't know. I just grabbed this sandwich on the run.
Oh, you shouldn't do that, Georgie. You've got to have a balanced diet. That's why I like you to eat at home when I can make sure.
Okay, Myra.
Did you put the money in the checking account? Georgie, you got to talk to Jerry. He won't do his homework, and the teacher sent home another note. Jenny has to see an orthodontist, I think.
Okay. I'll take care of everything.
When?
Starting Sunday, I get 3 days off.
No, but you never take your time
off. I can't just walk off in the middle of a case, Myra.
Where were you tonight?
Where was I tonight? Where do you think I was tonight? I was with some beautiful blonde. We had cocktails and dinner. Then we went dancing afterwards at a nightclub. And then we wound up the evening in her bachelor pad.
I'm sorry, Georgie. Oh, I know it sounds like I'm nagging you all the time, but there's just too much for me to do around here. All by myself?
I know. But, honey, once I make captain, you'll see everything will be okay.
You used to say that before you made lieutenant.
Yeah, but just wait. Everything will work out.
Sure, I know it will. I'll tell you what. I'll make us a snack, and we can sit up and talk.
Now, honey, I'm beat. It's been a long, long day, and I got to get an early start in the morning. You understand?
Sure, Georgie. I understand.
That's what we need in this world. More understanding wives. Well, we've been weaving several threads here, and it seems that the museum appears to be central to all of them. And this museum will have a few more interesting, if somewhat deadly, exhibits on display for us when I return shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Madam, can I step inside? You see, I'm taking a survey. We're not selling anything, of course.
Well, if you're sure you're not selling...
Absolutely, I guarantee it. I see you have children. Do they do well in school? Now, if you'll just sign here, madam, you'll receive all 10 items for free, except for the handling charges, you understand. Pennies a day, really.
Wait just a moment, madam. Don't sign that paper. That's a contract. And believe me, nothing in this deal is for free.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau, reminding you to read this contract carefully before you sign it. Don't be taken in by the story that anything of value is free. And remember that pennies a day add up to a considerable amount. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
The other night, Terry Jessup, an ex-football player who is considered to be, for all his size, a rather calm and gentle person, suddenly went berserk and murdered his wife. This came as a surprise for two reasons. First, everyone had always assumed that he worshipped her. Second, he killed her in a museum, of all places.
You going to be home for supper, Georgie?
I don't know, Myra. I'll have to call you.
Why don't I just figure you won't be, as usual?
That might be best.
Promise me you'll eat.
Sure.
Honey, you're at the age where a man can start to get all kinds of things wrong if he doesn't watch himself.
I'll take care of myself, Myra. Look, honey, I know you got the kids all day in the house, but...
But what? Oh, it's just how it works out. You've got your job. I have to put up with it.
Well, that's just it. You say you have to put up with it.
Well, I do, don't I? Like these other men in this neighborhood, they have jobs out at 9, home at 5, Saturday and Sunday off. And that's it.
Well, you knew I didn't have that kind of job when you married me. You knew what life would be like on the force.
I also knew some 9-to-5 cops.
Yes, and you knew I wasn't one of them.
Honey, I just wish you didn't have to work so hard.
But I like to work hard. You know your problem?
I don't have a problem.
You should develop some interests.
I've got plenty to do around here.
No, I mean away from here. Something that you do for yourself. So you can also develop as a person.
Georgie, all I asked you was if you were coming home for supper.
I'll try.
Look, if we eat early, maybe you can help me paint the floor of the basement. Oh, honey, and the cold water faucet, the downstairs tub has to be fixed.
Look, I'll tell you what. You make a list of all that stuff, and I'll take care of it.
You know, Georgie, you never talk to me about your work. Maybe that's what's wrong with us.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with us.
Well, I was reading in a magazine, a wife should share more of what her husband does.
Well, you know about this football player who killed his wife.
Oh, if there's one sport that leaves me cold, it's football.
He says something in the museum made him do it.
What?
I guess you could say some spirit.
Oh, he must be crazy.
No, it could be true.
Georgie, are you crazy?
Honey, when you're a homicide detective, anything has to be considered.
Don't say a word of this to anybody else. They'll say you're nuts.
No, but there's evidence.
Evidence? How can there be evidence?
Other people.
Look, you can find nuts anywhere who will... Oh, honey, on your way home tonight, pick up a gallon of deck paint. Get a light gray, will you, dear? Don't forget.
No, I won't forget.
Hi.
Hello, Polly. You busy?
Swamped.
Maybe I better come back another time.
Oh, you do that.
I shouldn't be here, Polly.
I won't say a word.
We agreed last night it couldn't, it mustn't go anywhere.
Oh, yes, we agreed.
That last night would have to be the end of it.
I know.
But the real reason I'm here is this does happen to be the scene of the crime.
That's true.
Something in this place made Terry Jessup kill his wife, made those other people go crazy.
Something?
I don't know too much about it, but it could be some kind of spirit. You think I'm crazy?
No.
Now, the way I figure it, these tribes, you know, they believed in magic. It was their religion. Maybe there was some truth in it for them. And so...
Well, go ahead.
And so these things, these knives and clothes and the things here, the magic could still be in them. Or on them or something. Now you go ahead and call the guys in the white coats.
I'll do no such thing. I always believed in that myself.
But you're educated.
So are you.
I don't have the books.
You don't need the books. Come here.
Holly, it can't go anywhere.
Where does it have to go? It's already arrived.
Polly, can I see you tonight?
Why do you feel you have to ask?
Captain Prescott. Oh. Yeah, I'll see him. Morning, Georgie. Sit down.
Listen, Prescott, why am I being assigned to the Kenilworth thing?
Because it's a good live murder and just a job for a smart detective like you.
But I'm still with the museum killing.
What is it with you? Jessup is already in the cooler waiting for his trial. It's gone past
us. But we have to find out why he did it.
No, that's going to be for the psychiatrist to rumble about. What a field day those birds are going to have.
Look, I'm running down an angle.
Yeah?
At the museum.
Yeah, yeah. I know her name, too. Polly Atkins.
What are you talking about?
Come on, Georgie. Everybody knows about it. Everybody except Myra, maybe.
I don't know what's happened to me. Look, it's the first time I ever stepped out of line. You have to believe that.
Okay. I believe it.
And I didn't even plan it. I didn't even know I was doing it. I just asked her out before I could even think of what I was saying.
You still in love with Myra?
Yes.
Are you?
No, I don't know. It's all so mixed up. She's everything I ever wanted.
Who?
Polly. Cool, smart.
Sure. She doesn't have to worry about running a house and taking care of kids.
Yeah, I know all that, but I just have to have her, Prescott, that's all.
Where does it lead?
Nowhere. It's just free and easy and relaxed.
Where does it lead, Georgie?
I told you, nowhere.
That's not good enough for you. There are guys who can waltz in and out of these things with one dame after another. Not you.
Listen, Prescott.
Georgie, a thing like this is going to rip you apart.
I told you, it's just laughs.
You don't have that kind of humor. Break up with her.
I can't.
So it is serious.
Georgie,
break it up before it kills you.
What are you talking about?
I said my piece, Georgie.
Look, I've got this lead. Just give me a couple of more days to tie this one up.
Sure, sure.
Yes?
Mrs. Stanley Howarth?
Yes, but not for long, brown eyes. I've already had the paper served on big-hearted Stanley.
I'm a police officer.
Oh. Well, do come in.
Your husband, Mr. Stanley Howarth.
Do we have to talk about him?
About a month ago, you, your husband, and another couple, a Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Seeley.
Yeah, that's another great pair.
We're in the Museum of Indian Art.
I still don't know whose bright idea that was.
Suddenly, your husband and Mr. Seeley started swinging at each other. Why?
Why?
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Did anything happen that would have created a fight? They just couldn't start swinging at each other for no reason at all.
Well, the truth is, neither of them's a great intellect, if you know what I mean.
Could you just tell me everything that happened while you were in that museum?
You got a one-track mind. Well, let's see. I don't know why we went there. But Betty Seeley said, let's go for laughs. Shows you where she is. So we wander around, the whole thing's a drag, and I say, Stanley, let's take off, and he says, shut up.
Why?
Stanley's a man of few words, and those are two of them. Well, anyhow, everybody's saying to Stanley, let's go. But he's just standing there, staring at this thing that looks like a bathrobe.
A bathrobe?
Well, no, it ain't a bathrobe. It's one of those old Indian robes, and he's staring at it like he's hypnotized.
Yes?
So, Andy Seeley puts his hand on Stanley's arm and says, let's go. And Stanley pushes him away and says, you're the one who ruined my life, and on account of you, I'm a crook today.
What did he mean by that?
Well, Stanley and Andy, they're partners. And they put together deals, and all I can say is they never lose money.
Then what?
Oh, I never seen Stanley so mad. Or Andy either. Each accused the other guy of dragging them down. You know what I mean? I don't know what got into either of them. And they started slugging. I mean, they'd have killed each other. Well, it took the museum guards and the cops.
I know. They were booked and then released on bond. What happened later?
These two crazy guys, these two nuts, they actually gave away all their money.
What?
Well, fortunately, I got some of Stanley's in my name. But they spent days in the office investigating worthy causes. And they just got rid of all they owned.
Could I see your husband?
Yeah, sure. If you want to go to India to look for him.
He went to India?
Well, was it India or Africa? I don't know. Might have been South America.
Why?
To do good work. Can you tie a thing like that? Any wonder I want to ditch him?
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Howarth.
Anytime. And now that you know the way, don't be a stranger.
Terry, try to think.
I can't remember nothing, Lieutenant.
You were looking at something.
I don't remember.
Were you looking at anything special?
I can't recall.
Were you looking at a robe?
A robe?
Yes, a robe.
Well, I think maybe...
Try to remember. A robe, Terry. Would a robe mean anything to you?
Well, she wanted me to go away from the robe. Yeah, that's what she wanted me to do.
Is that why you killed her?
She said, what's so fascinating about that little old thing? It's like some old lady's bathrobe. Ancient ceremonial robe. High priest of the Wolf Clan. And she wanted me to go away from the robe, and so...
Yes?
The robe told me to kill her.
How could a robe tell you to kill her?
Well, it's what it told me.
You mean the robe was able to speak?
No. It wasn't in words. It was a force inside of me. Please, Lieutenant, please. But right now, I feel so weak, so tired. I don't know what I'm saying. Please, let me alone.
What you're saying is crazy.
Okay, I killed her. Everybody saw me kill her. Now, I say that robe made me do it. You say it's crazy? Okay, it's crazy. Now, let me alone.
What does science have to say on the subject? Science, in its wisdom, states that matter cannot be destroyed. Philosophers agree in principle because they claim that ideas cannot be killed. So if there was something in that ceremonial robe originally, who is to say it isn't there yet? It's been there for 1,000 years, and it will still be there in a few moments when I return with Act 3. Driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
Here's a riddle. Name a giant that lives in the ocean but can't breathe underwater. A giant that sings songs but has no vocal cord. Give up? It's a whale. One of the most fascinating giants that ever lived. And what's more, these giants have enormous brains and impressive intelligence. Let's use some of ours to save them from extinction. A message from the National Audubon Society and its local chapters.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and see. Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I finished school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead.
About the new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Cities are built on the ruins of others. And so what we have is not something that is brand new, but usually is just another layer. And if we dig into the ground, we find the things of those people who have come and gone before our time. But we don't have to dig to find the ideas and the forces and the spirits that move them. Those can be felt everywhere, especially by men and women who are waiting and hoping for something to change the course of their lives. Detective Lieutenant George Miller has been involved with people like that lately. As a matter of fact, Lieutenant Miller is in the midst of a change in his own life. He may or may not be aware of it.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Are you Mr. Kenneth Underwood?
Yes.
I'm a police detective. I was told at your apartment that you could be found here in the park.
And now that you found me?
There was an incident at the museum.
A sudden aberration. Over and done with it.
Is that so? You were looking at that robe in the museum and you suddenly went... Well, I don't like to say crazy.
Sir, I don't understand what you're saying.
No, I think you do. It's happened twice again since. What can you tell me about that robe?
Why is it important?
A man killed his wife. The state of his mind at the time will decide the price he'll pay.
I read about it. They'll say he was insane.
What about that robe?
It doesn't matter. Let us say that, some spirit emanated from that robe, possessed him. It'll amount to being crazy anyhow.
Why do you say an evil spirit?
I said a spirit. You said evil.
Well, isn't it evil if it causes a man to kill?
The robe. The spirit of the robe said to me, Kenneth Underwood.
Then you are saying there is a spirit in the robe.
Said to me, Kenneth Underwood, the gods gave you the gift of poetry. You've abused it, defiled it, cheapened it. And I did. And I thought I would die then and there. And the spirit said, will you throw off this illusion of fame and be true to your gift? And I said, yes. Yes. And a great weight was lifted from my heart because I meant it.
Do you expect me to believe this?
You asked me a question. I gave you an answer.
What kind of spirit?
Some days later, I returned to the museum. I examined the robe. There's a kind of design in it. I spoke to an authority on the ancient Indian cultures. He said it was the robe of the Wolf Clan's high priest.
That's what it says on the printed card.
The Wolf Clan. The clan responsible for the moral purity of the tribe. Each month, on the third night before the full moon, every adult member of the tribe had to pass before the high priest. It's called the Night of the Wolf. And if in any heart there's hidden a guilty secret, that secret springs forth. And it either kills that person, or he must kill it. I killed mine. And so I've survived.
Going along with this, how do you account for those other two incidents?
Oh, pure coincidence. People happened to be standing next to the robe on that particular night. I read about them in the paper. The two men, they killed their guilty secret.
What about Terry Jessup?
A football player. He couldn't kill his. He couldn't leave his wife. In his agony, he murdered her.
Do you expect me to believe this?
That's your option. But a week from next Monday, it will once again be 3 nights before the full moon. If you have a guilty secret, Lieutenant, I wouldn't advise you to stand near that robe. Not on the night of the wolf.
Myra?
Georgie, I didn't expect you.
What do you mean you didn't expect me?
Well, honey, you usually don't get home for dinner most nights.
Well, I always call. Where are the kids?
Oh, well, you know, Tuesday's Jerry's night for the Cub Scouts. And Ginny's sleeping over at a friend's tonight. I didn't prepare anything.
That's okay. You want to go out and eat?
Well, no.
Okay, then. Let's just spend a quiet evening at home. We're entitled to it.
I don't know if I can, honey.
Why? What's the matter?
Well, you said I should get myself an interest. I did.
What do you mean?
Oh, I took up bowling.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yes. We have a neighborhood league here. And tonight's our night. Actually, I was just on my way out the door.
Oh, well, then why don't you just go ahead?
Oh, you see, Georgie, I'm captain of the team. It's an important game.
I understand.
Otherwise, I'd call it off.
Now, sure.
Look, I will call them and say that something has come up.
No. I'm going to turn in early anyhow.
Oh, you sure you don't mind?
Honey, you go out there and roll a 300 game for the old man.
Oh, silly. I'll be home early.
Glass of wine, George?
No, I don't need wine or anything else when I'm with you.
Thank you, sir.
Polly, what's going to happen to us?
What's supposed to happen?
I don't want it to end.
I don't want it to end either. So it won't end. Unless, of course, one of us changes his mind and then, well, that's it. Something's bothering you, George?
No. Well, every now and then, I can't help feeling what we're doing is wrong.
What we're doing happens to be what we both want to be doing.
But people don't just have the right to do what they want to do.
Why not?
Why not? Well, because.
Yes? Because?
You know something? When I'm with you, I feel anything is possible. I mean, I'm not stuck in a rut. I just feel free.
Is that bad?
I don't know why. Half the time, I don't understand what you're saying.
Half the time, I don't understand what I'm saying either.
And you're not the best-looking dame I ever saw.
Oh, thank you. This is your night for gracious compliments.
But I just can't seem to get along without you.
So? Why fight it?
Who's fighting it?
You are. Every minute. From that very first minute I saw you.
I just decided I'm going to quit fighting it.
Starting when?
Starting right now. I'll show you.
I believe you.
How much longer you want to fool around with the museum murder case?
That's why I want to see you, Prescott. I want you to take me off it.
You're off. As of right now. What happened?
Nothing. I don't want to go near that place again.
Meaning what?
Meaning what I said.
Does that include Miss Polly Atkins?
Miss Polly Atkins is my affair.
That's very well put.
Look, what have you got for me to work on?
What I've got for you is 1 week's sick leave.
Sick leave?
You better take it.
Why?
You look terrible.
I never felt better in my life.
Don't hand me that, George.
This thing with Polly is... it's killing you.
Are you out of your mind?
Down deep, you're hurting yourself badly. Because this thing... it's wrong.
Who says it's wrong?
Everything you were taught to believe since the day you were born says it's
that
wrong.
That doesn't make it so.
It makes it so for you.
Don't you think I'm trying? I say I'll never see her again. But the next
but
day...
let's not get confused with any of that. It's just wrong. That's all.
It can't be. It seems that the two of us, Polly and me, we just belong together.
Well, then divorce Myra and marry Polly.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't know why not. Maybe I love Myra.
Then get rid of Polly.
No, I love Polly, too. Is it wrong to love both of them for different reasons, for different things?
Yeah.
Who says so?
You keep asking. I keep telling. You say so. Your conscience says so.
Okay. I'll ask someone else.
Who? Who?
Nobody. Nobody you'd know.
Sure, but who is he?
A priest.
A priest? What do you think a priest is going to tell you?
This particular priest, I don't know what he's going to tell me.
Georgie, are you sure you're all right?
Yeah, Prescott, yeah. Just now, for the first time in weeks, I feel all right.
If you don't want to take the sick week, see me later for your assignment.
Sure. This is Lieutenant Miller of the police department. I want some weather information, please. What will be the third night this month before the full moon? I have to know exactly.
I can't imagine why you'd want to come here this evening, George.
Oh, I don't know. I just want to see the exhibit again.
Well, I'd think you'd seen all you wanted of it this past month.
Well, I never really looked at things before. Did you call Captain Prescott?
Yeah. Now, why do you want him to be here?
Did he say he'd come?
He should be here any minute. Well, why do you want him?
I may need him.
For what?
Maybe for nothing. I hope for nothing.
Georgie! What's this all about?
Oh, Prescott, I'd like you to meet Miss Atkins.
Oh, we met on the phone.
How do you do? Now, Georgie, what do you want me to see?
I want to show you a robe.
A robe?
Yes. Right there.
That? That moth-eaten looking thing? What's the point?
It belongs to the priest. The one I said I was going to see.
Miss Atkins, you know what Georgie is talking about?
The robe of the high priest of the Wolf Clan. George, you're pale. Something the matter?
Polly, do you believe with all your heart that you and I, we two, we're right?
I believe it, George. I believe it, but...
don't say any more. Prescott, have you got anything to hide? Anything on your conscience?
Everybody's got something on his conscience.
No, I'm talking about something wrong that's vital to your life.
Georgie, I don't like the way you look.
You don't... you don't feel a terrible pain in your head?
Georgie.
You don't feel a tightness? It's so tight in your chest.
I think we better call a doctor.
Oh, your whole body's not on fire?
George.
On fire? Oh, then you're safe. It's me.
A telephone for...
no, George. Don't go. Don't.
George, all she wants to do
no,
is...
no, I
just...
won't give her up. I won't. I can't, no matter what you say. I won't give her up. I'll kill her first.
George.
I'll kill myself.
George, put that knife back.
It's the same knife that other man used.
George. I won't give her up. I love
George.
Her.
Wait a minute.
No, let...
George.
Go. I have to kill us both.
George.
It's the order of the high priest.
George, stop it. Stop it.
I have to. I have to.
George!
Polly. Yeah. Polly, I'm sorry.
Quick, call an ambulance.
No. No, don't. Father, the high priest, he said... funny. He said, drive her out of your heart.
Oh, George.
Even if it kills you. I drove you out of my heart. And now I have no heart at all.
Who knows who sentenced Lieutenant George Miller to death? A conscience, which everyone has? A sudden heart attack, which anyone can get? Or was it the verdict of the high priest of the ancient Wolf Clan? I'll be back shortly.
That's the end of a mystery show. I hope nobody swoons. So long, folks, it's time to go. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll be back by and by with more of Radio's Best. A tale to terrify. I'll give you party and the rest. We guarantee our story will send chills right up your spine. Just make sure that you're the one who chills the vino wine. But for now, turn on the light and open up the lock. Hope we didn't leave you in a fright or in a state of shock. We'll be back with more suspense to make your hair turn gray. Brought to you with compliments of the important Vina Rose.
Water by Newline, Hartford, Connecticut.
It has been said, when a man lives with truth, there also will justice dwell. For the man of honesty and righteousness will determine the verdict for himself. He will be his own judge, his own jury, and if justice demands it, his own executioner. On this show, we deal in poetic justice every time, and we will have another case in point for you tomorrow. We hope you will continue to be interested. Our cast included Michael Tolan, Joan Shea, Evie Juster, Ken Harvey, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I don't think my man has any connection with your Grim Reaper.
How do you know?
I don't know. It's instinct. I just think the man who called me was no run-of-the-mill psychotic. I've got the feeling that he was, or is, a man with a temporary aberration.
Mm. Wasn't it about this time that he called you last night?
Yes.
It's someone who knows your habits, has some idea of your schedule. Midnight. Is that about when he started last night?
Yes, but it could be the hospital.
Now, wait, as long as we dare.
My service picks up after four rings.
You have an extension in the kitchen?
Yes.
Okay, pick up. I'll get on the extension.
Hello?
Hello, my lovely. This is your unseen admirer. Why did you have to spoil it?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... pleasant dreams.
Next on KIXI, CBS Radio News. KIXI Seattle, 91 on your AM dial, 96 FM. And the time is 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford's energy package has gone to Congress. The president says prompt action on all parts of it is essential. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president's proposals take up 182 pages, broken down into 13 sections. Mr. Ford says the country needs this program badly, and without it, Americans face a future of shortages and dependency, which the country can neither tolerate nor accept. The proposals include new taxes on domestic crude oil and natural gas, designed to drive up retail prices and force reduced consumption. Despite heavy opposition voiced by the Democratic-controlled Congress, it's the same program the president mentioned 15 days ago in his State of the Union message. Some congressional Democrats are taking the president to task on another front, increased military aid for Cambodia and South Vietnam. Senator Edward Kennedy says the administration is using scare tactics and threats to drum up support for the proposed increase of $522 million in military aid. Both Kennedy and Assistant Senate Democratic Leader Robert Byrd denied administration claims that Congress would hold the responsibility if it rejects the aid and the governments of South Vietnam and Cambodia fall. More news in a moment.
Loretta Lynn sings for the Bell System. Good friends are for keeps, so keep in touch. Long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Good friends are forever. Good friends are forever. Good friends are for keeps.
President Ford held a state dinner Thursday night at the White House for Prime Minister Harold Wilson of Britain. Prime Minister talked about the discussions he's been holding with the president.
Our talks this week are being directed to still greater, still wider, still newer problems, which have arisen to threaten the economic life of our own nations and of so many other nations of the world, rich and poor. It is out of the very nature of the challenges we have faced together, challenges which now are to the economic advance, challenges to the well-being for all the peoples of the world.
On Friday, Wilson and the president will conclude 2 days of discussions. Some supermarkets in Florida have lost a court fight over pricing. Ike Siemens reports from Miami.
Grocers in Greater Miami will not be allowed to mark up the price of food products once they're placed on the shelf. The county commission passed the ordinance 10 days ago, but several supermarket chains took the matter to court. But a federal judge has refused to declare the new law unconstitutional. County Commissioner Joyce Goldberg called the ruling a victory for the consumer.
The samples that were shown to us and sent in to us indicated that there was a 20% increase in the cost of groceries as a result of the remarking. Now, to many people in Dade County, that doesn't mean what they're going to eat. That means whether or not someone will eat.
The federal judge who heard the case said he believes the county will have a hard time enforcing the new ordinance that prevents the repricing of food on store shelves. But Commissioner Goldberg says there's an entire army of enforcers ready and waiting. The consumers who buy the products. Ike Siemens for CBS News, Miami.
A Turkish airliner crashed Thursday night in the Marmara Sea while trying to land at the Istanbul airport. Apparently, all 41 persons aboard the plane were killed. Officials say there was a power failure in Istanbul at the time, which prevented the pilot of the plane from communicating with the tower. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, This 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
The old adage, you can't beat a parking ticket, appears to be truer than ever. Neither can you hassle a meter maid without paying the price. So ruled a court in San Francisco, which ordered a 22-year-old man to pay $3,000 for stuffing a parking ticket down the blouse of the meter maid who wrote it. After the court hearing and the big judgment against him, the man still has to pay the $10 parking fine. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Let's hear it for justice on KIXI Seattle. The time, 6 minutes past 11. And these sports scores, four free throws by Tommy Williams with no time left, gave the Puget Sound Loggers a 70-67 basketball victory over Great Falls in Tacoma tonight. Also in basketball, the Western Washington Vikings sank 68% of their shots from the field in the second half in Bellingham tonight to win a 92-68 basketball victory over Simon Fraser.